versus correctional medical facility, Mr. McGann.
Morning, counsel. May it please the court, I'm Andrew McGann. I represent Correctional Medical Services, or CMS. Your Honor, on this record, the jury's verdict against CMS flatly contradicts the holdings of this court and the Supreme Court regarding the scope of entity liability under Section 1983. The plaintiffs pursued at trial two theories that could be looked at really as two sides of the same coin, and they argued it to the jury in closing, they argued it to the judge in opposition to our Rule 50 motion, and they argue it principally in this court. And that is the theory that that evidence of departures from an entity's written policies, in this case in the management of health care at a jail, constitutes deliberate indifference. And that theory has been, in a number of cases, explicitly rejected by this court, including recently in the Estate of Novak versus County of Wood case, which both parties here cite in their briefs, but the plaintiffs never contend with the statement in that case that routinely ignoring written jail policies does not create an inference that in that case the county, the entity here, was deliberately indifferent to the plaintiff's rights. So that theory upon which the defense of the jury's verdict turns in this court in the plaintiff's brief has been explicitly rejected by this court, and it should be rejected in this case. The other side of that coin that I referred to is the argument, again, that was made throughout the trial proceedings and is made here in the plaintiff's brief, and that is that CMS somehow tolerated a lax or unprofessional environment or atmosphere in the jail. The U.S. Supreme Court in 1991 in Wilson versus Sider explicitly rejected that theory of a deliberate indifference. The court there said that nothing so amorphous as overall conditions can rise to the level of cruel and unusual punishment. And again, that is the crux of the plaintiff's defense of the verdict here, that they were able to put on evidence at trial of conduct in other instances at the jail at the hands of CMS personnel, isolated incidences that they argued to the jury violated CMS's own policies. And riding on that theory, went to the jury and argued, this is evidence of a widespread practice of deliberate indifference by CMS.
But if they could have shown that that widespread theory of that widespread indifference did in fact touch this plaintiff, would they be in a different situation?
Possibly, Your Honor, and let me explain. The next hurdle that plaintiff's theory can't clear, and going directly to your question, is what is the nature of those bad acts? Is it simply not keeping a neat and orderly house, which is the theory of their case, or are they acts of constitutionally violative deliberate indifference to prisoners in similar or like circumstances as to the injury that occurred here, which was Mr. Farver's suicide? And emphatically, the answer is no here. There's no evidence in this record of a single other suicide at the jail.
So not the other way of looking at this, though, is that you did have successive acts of negligence. Not recklessness, perhaps, but negligence. But what you had happened was the intake nurse makes a mistake. There are built into the system checks on her. This interview by the psychiatric social worker, the interview by the psychiatrist, the daily checks by the custodial people. None of those backup systems worked either. So that what you basically have here is maybe four separate acts of negligence, all of which were kind of set in place by management's hands in the pocket, shrug of the shoulders kind of approach to life. Now, why isn't that a viable theory upon which they could have gone to the jury?
A number of reasons why that theory, as Your Honor articulates it, doesn't defend this verdict adequately. Firstly, the jury, as Your Honor knows, exonerated Nurse Karen Dean. She did not, in filling out the...
Yeah, but I think what the jury must have thought is that it wasn't her fault that she wasn't properly trained and able to behave competently. Don't you think that's the likeliest inference?
It is certainly an inference that a reasonable jury could draw from the evidence regarding Dean and may explain her verdict. We just don't know. It may be that they decided, having heard her testimony and seen her, that she was not acting out of any intentional or reckless disregard
right.
for the risk here.
Right.
We'd be speculating on it. As to that point, if I could maybe address both questions, there's no evidence in the record that there was any other suicide, even any other injury of any other inmate or detainee as a consequence of any training.
Please continue your thought.
As a consequence of any of the training or the policies or the lack of adherence to policies by CMS personnel.
Is there a rule of law that says you get one dead inmate free?
No, and that's not our argument here. In this case, the plaintiff
had a number of prison suicide, jail suicide cases, and in one of them, in one of our opinions, we recited the statistics on jail suicides, which are very ominous, and especially early in a person's imprisonment. And you know that's something that creates a known risk that all these prison authorities have to be very careful about.
That's correct, Your Honor, and there's no dispute here that the incidence of suicide among the prison population is higher than it is in the general population. The legal test here, however, is whether the injury that was suffered by Mr. Farver was as a direct cause of a widespread practice or policy.
We have someone who has a history of suicide attempts, so that puts him in a very risky class. So there's clearly someone who has previous suicide attempts and he's arrested, especially for this crime, then you clearly have a known suicide risk. And disregarding a known risk is deliberate indifference, or can be deliberate indifference.
It can be, Your Honor, and our argument here is that the evidence is insufficient to support a finding that the employer, CMS, of the individuals about whose conduct we're talking right now, caused that deliberate indifference in the way Your Honor formulates the question as a consequence of its policies.
So your point is that if you had other instances, they would at least show that your client had slipped before, that there was a policy problem. Now suppose there had been, am I correct?
Yes, absolutely, Your Honor.
Now,
that would be a different case, and that's not true.
Suppose there were other instances. Wouldn't you have objected to those on the ground that they really weren't relevant?
It depends. It depends at trial, Your Honor, on what the basis of the offer was. For example, if plaintiff had offered evidence that other nurses failed properly to fill out intake forms and alert the officials at the jail that an inmate ought to be put on suicide watch, that didn't happen like they say it didn't happen here, like they showed it didn't happen here, and suicides resulted, you would now be within the standards that this court has set down, that the other bad acts must be constitutional violations, they must be of a similar kind, in order to demonstrate that it is a policy of an entity like CMS that's caused the injury in this case. Now, there is a record of higher suicide rates in prison, and in this record, there's no evidence of a single other suicide at the Lake County Jail by any other inmate at the hands of CMS personnel, none. And that is exactly the point that was made in the estate of Novak case, again, which I think plaintiff's entire argument here failed to address and can't address. The absence of any pattern of suicide at the jail, and this is from the estate of Novak case, didn't permit the inference that the jail was aware of a problem as a consequence of its policies. Indeed, in this case, as the record shows, the policies of CMS are accredited, and plaintiff's own expert at trial agreed that they were good and sufficient policies. I see I'm into my
report. Okay, thank you, Mr. McGann.
Thank you.
Mr. Coladarcy?
Counsel, please, the court. Good morning. The defendant does not raise issues on the jury instructions or any substantive legal matters, so the issues are weight of the evidence and abuses of discretion in evidentiary rulings.
You talk about cause here. I think that's the sticking point.
The cause of whether this was the moving force?
As I understand, the suicide watches, you check somebody every 15 minutes.
Justin had cerebral palsy.
Is that correct, that you check every 15 minutes on somebody on suicide watch?
That
if they're not on suicide watch, you check what?
Every 30 minutes, say, or every half hour.
Now, if he was checked, I think the record is that he was checked within 15 minutes.
Yes, but that was my point about cerebral palsy.
The cause here, what would have been different if he'd been on suicide watch?
He was under his blanket, fashioning a noose. He has, the testimony was, it takes him 10 to 15 minutes to tie his shoes. So he was under his blanket all day, fashioning a noose.
So they checked him, but it wasn't a
good check. Under there, he's scurrying around, working away. I mean, if it's a suicide watch, you would not allow somebody who's a known risk for suicide to be under a blanket, essentially unobserved. You know, that is relevance of the cerebral palsy in this particular case.
But how do you attach liability? I understand Molnar, and you got a judgment against Molnar.
Yes.
I suppose not worth a lot.
Well, he was covered by insurance. We settled with him.
So you settled with Molnar.
Yes.
Yeah. But in order to hold the Correctional Medical Services liable, you have to show that they are somehow the wrongdoer, not just...
It was Correctional Medical Services contract, and these were their employees doing...
Yeah, but we don't have respondeat.
I know, but that's different. I understand that. But a corporation can only act by the...
Right, okay.
By what its employees act and can only know what its employees know.
But you have to go up to the managerial level.
Certainly, Nurse Frykstale knew that Molnar was a problem.
Is she high enough in the hierarchy to be a management employee?
She is the site administrator. She is the one who determines how the jail, in terms of the medical care, will be run. Moreover, there were complaints made by the nurse to the regional director, Mr. Moore.
What did Frykstale know?
What did Frykstale know about...
About
she knew that there were nurses...
Farber.
I don't know, other than when she got the call or that something had happened and been hanging, she made phone calls immediately to Dean and to Molnar. She immediately ratified their conduct as being appropriate and consistent with the way she wanted the jail ran. And she did that right through trial. Ratified everything that everybody did.
But beforehand, before the hanging, what ties her to
she knew
with regard of policies?
She knew that Molnar resisted doing the suicide intakes and resisted referring people.
How do we know? Who testified?
Clark and Shrivener both complained directly to Frykstale.
And Frykstale knew that Molnar didn't like this suicide watch business.
Correct. And she said to him, well, that's just Joel. Forget about it. And there were complaints, of course, about if you don't like it, to Mr. Morris, who would come through and have similar complaints were made to him. If you don't like it, go someplace else. Or you can leave. I would suggest, however, that the knowledge of the, because this is a corporation that's working here, it's a management issue, I understand, but that there are serial acts of negligence that we're talking about for which they are accountable as it relates directly to Justin, of course. Now, the Dr. Greifinger said, and he's the medical director in New York of the jail system, this is the worst and most thoroughly documented case of suicide that he's ever seen. I don't mean to go over the entire litany, but the medical records are in evidence, and that's all that we really have from Justin.
The doctor saw him a couple of days before, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
And didn't send up any red flags after that?
Well, we had a case against Dr. Fernando, and the jury exonerated him, I think probably on the basis of his testimony, that he thought Molnar had put him on suicide watch based on his observations. So therefore, it's either proximate cause or a failure of deliberate indifference as to Dr. Fernando. The medication that he would have taken, and he should have taken, should have been initiated within a day or two that he was, that Justin was arrested. And it takes some time for it to work. I think that came into evidence as well. So we're talking about solving Justin's problems on the 25th and the 26th rather than 2.5 weeks later by the time that he has certainly not gotten better.
As Judge Posner points out, most of these suicide cases that we had are suicides that are committed within the short time of the person entering a jail facility.
Well, I don't know what the
danger seems to go down. It's more the shock of the bars closing the first time.
I think that's fair, but you have to understand that at this point, Justin was undergoing, you know, repeated indignities of being in a jail when he has he's obviously, you know, significantly depressed and mentally ill, and it was really just a matter of time before he was going to do something to himself. I mean, he had 10 prior episodes of attempted suicide, and if you leave somebody in a jail for these kind of charges without the ability to care for himself or to go see a doctor on his own, these things happen.
Did anybody in the jail know about the priors?
Yes, sir.
What does the record show on that?
I can tell you. Over 10 self-destructive episodes, lost 30 pounds.
What does the record show that the staff knew about?
These are in the medical records, Your Honor. Exhibit 1 through 1.1 through 1.10 document in loving detail that Justin was intended to harm himself from the minute he got to the jail. The very first entry.
You say these are the jail medical records, not some personal thing?
Correct.
So the jail personnel had asked him, and
CMS
he had
personnel.
Told these things.
I'm sorry?
He had told these things to
yes,
them?
Sir. It is the very first exhibit in this case. It was filled out by Nurse Dean, expresses thoughts about harming self. Yes. Check. Mr. Molnar's summary has, at least by my count, 10 different reflections of suicidal behavior. Positive for suicide ideation, 10 prior episodes, feels like harming himself, has in a memorable phrase, suicidal proclivities. Now, we know that Frightsdale was told that Molnar didn't like putting people on suicide watches or dealing with them because it's problematic and there's a lot of demands on it. We know that the complaints were made about Molnar to Frightsdale and to Morris when he came through. Now, it is hard for me to imagine, if you read those 10 pages of Justin's medical record, that Justin could have done anything more to ask or to scream for help.
But he also asked for a pair of glasses, didn't he, the day that he committed suicide?
Yes, but the argument that the defendants made is that somebody who's going to order glasses or said, you know, I really would like to have a pair of glasses here, well, he must be planning on living out the day. I mean, that's a silly argument. I mean, he may have been doing it so he could see the noose that he was fashioning out of a bed thing, out of the sheets. Now, I wanted to respond to a couple of things that came up in the in counsel's argument. This defendant exhibited a kind of indifference to prisoners and its obligations that it had undertook from the beginning. These were people in jail for a reason, and it didn't much matter to this defendant. You know, what are the damages going to be in this if something happens to one of these kids? That's not what 1983 is all about.
In the time that's left, which isn't very much here, tell me what you would have done if you would have been running the medical pod at the jail.
I would have done what Greifringer did, is if somebody says you're suicidal, put them on a suicide watch. Tell the jailer.
Watch checks them every 15 minutes.
There was testimony from this Officer Myers. It's a different inmate if he's on a suicide watch. You don't slam the door shut and say, shut up. You know, you'll get out when we say you get out. Judge Gettleman made that observation in ruling, and he said he would have been treated entirely differently if they had known.
Your point is, if they'd seen him under the blanket, they would have investigated further.
Well, wasn't he
what
I mean,
doing there?
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy who's got a history. He's known to be suicidal. He's told, at that point, he would have told the social, nurse team, the psychiatric social worker, and Dr. Fernando that he was suicidal. If that information had been expressed and given to the guards, this gentleman is presently suicidal. What guard, I mean, the jury obviously understood this. I mean, what guard would have let him sit, you know, spend the afternoon under a, or the morning under his blanket? What else could he be doing?
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Kolodarski.
Thank you.
Mr. McGann, how much time did you have? 1 minute? Uh-huh.
I'll walk fast. The argument we just heard, Your Honor, doesn't address the crucial issue, which is whether there is a custom or practice that rises to the level of a policy by CMS that caused this.
Well, he's saying Frixdale is at the management level, and she can make policy for the jail, for the medical services of the jail. What's wrong with that argument?
What's wrong with it is the record doesn't support it. That's not argued in their brief, and there's no evidence in this case that Nurse Frixdale made policy rather than implemented policy for CMS.
Well, she could have fired Molnar, couldn't she have?
I don't know the answer to that, and I think the record doesn't show.
Was she the site administrator, or is that false?
She was. She was in charge of the nursing staff.
Okay, she's in charge of the facility. I don't know what more you need. She's in charge of the facility. She knows that Molnar is hostile to Suicide Watch, and she hears, you know, pretty strange things about Molnar. So why do you have to have anything in, by way of policy, custom, practice, what have you, beyond her being the site administrator and she is aware of this problem?
Because that's the plaintiff's argument, is that the basis, the entire basis for assigning liability to CMS in this case, Your Honor, was that they went to the jury and they've argued in this court that they proved that there was a custom practice or policy.
This custom policy practice, first of all, I don't know how practice crept in here. This seems to be some strange, something that strayed in from Title VII. The point is, since there's not respondeat liability, respondeat superior liability in these 1983 cases, you have to find someone at the management level to pin the tail on. And that's Frixdale. Why do you have to talk about customs?
Well, the court's cases talk about the need to find and demonstrate a policy of the
institution. Yeah, but they're all talking about government entities. That's where custom comes in, because sometimes, you know, you're unclear what the source of authority is in a government agency. But in a corporation, it seems to me it's enough. You find a management-level employee, a person who's in charge of the facility, and that person is management.
There is...
Where would you locate decision-making in a corporation? Board of directors?
Well, I would, if I were trying the case for the plaintiff here, which of course I didn't, I would seek discovery to find out who made the policies that they're claiming were violated, and did they cause injuries, much less suicides, in any other cases. The social worker here had been at the jail, Your Honor, for 20 years.
Well, it's not interesting who made the policies that were violated. What is interesting is who did the violation. And if the site administrator is responsible for the violation in some sense, then I don't know why you have to go higher.
There's no evidence in this record that Nurse Frixdale had any hiring or firing authority over the social worker. There's just none. I don't even know the answer to the question.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Both counsel. Next case for argument is